This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Get ready for just about everything you've ever wanted to know about fire season for the Douglas District. To the Douglas Forest Protective Association, Rachel Pope in. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, fire season, as we've been talking about, officially started on Saturday in the Douglas District. Talk about how we got there.
That's correct. So with warming temperatures, drying vegetation, lower humidity, and increased fire risk, it created favorable conditions for wildfire. So now that we've determined that there's fire danger in the area and lands that we protect, we initiated that fire season.
And let's see, for last year, when did we start an end fire season?
In 2025, we went into fire season in June 6th. So we're about a week early this year.
And how long was the fire season last year? The
fire season ended October 10th in 2025. We were in fire season for 127 days. With that, there was 84 fires that occurred that burned 360 acres, which were 80% contributed to human-caused fires.
Now, 316 acres doesn't sound like that many. We've certainly had years that were much worse.
2025 was a reprieve, especially from 2024, historically being the worst fire season that the state of Oregon has seen. In comparison to just human-caused fires in 2024, of that 4,400 acres were burned, were contributed to a human start.
Interesting that this year, and I don't know if this is going to play into fire season at all, summer, based on the calendar, this is actually the longest summer in, I don't remember how many decades. I had it this morning and didn't keep track of it, but just the way the calendar works out, we actually have more summer. That doesn't mean we have more fire season, but it is something to pull into the mix there. When you look at other years and recent, recent years, how does all this data compare?
Before I came in today to talk to you, I pulled some data. I went far as back as 2013. So in 2013, we went into fire season May 15th. So that's about, 15 days earlier than we went into fire season this year. In 2013, the state was already experiencing drought and little to no snow, just the same factors that we're looking at right now going into 2026 fire season. In 2013, that was the start of the worst fire seasons that the Douglas District has seen. In 2013, it started on May 15th and ended September 25th. There was 134 days in that fire season with 147 fires. Of that, 34,000 acres were burned in 2013. Looking at 2015, fire season started June 1st, lasted till October 26th. That was 148 days in that fire season. That fire season, we saw almost 15,000 acres burned in the Douglas District. And in 2021, we went into fire season May 28th. That lasted until October 6th, with 131 days in that fire season. We saw 139 fires that burned almost 7,500 acres. So looking at the stats and the data going into 2026, it's not really favorable with the drought conditions, the dry fuels out there, and no snowpack. So that's what we've been preparing for. Again, we can't predict Mother Nature. Fire season is based off of environmental conditions, not the calendar. So this is where we need to take proactive steps to reduce wildfire risk and protect communities, forests, and natural resources.
You know, 2015, I remember just how kind of crazy it was with all the fires. That cable crossing fire had a big impact on a lot of things. And certainly, I mean, the Stouts Creek fire, that was big.
Stouts Creek fire was huge. The total acres burned for Stouts Creek was about 27,000 acres. I'm rounding there. 14,000 of that was on the Umpqua National Forest, and 12,000 of that was on DFPA protected land. And so, you know, Stouts Creek happened in 2015 and Cable Crossing Fire happened in 2015. Those are both contributed to human caused fires. You know, I was sitting down with our deputy district manager, Rory Collins, last week. And even though historically 2024 was the worst fire season that we've seen throughout the state of Oregon, 2015, with his experience of over 25 years of fighting fire for DFPA and fourth generation DFPA employee, 2015 was the worst fire season that he felt like he's worked.
You know, it's interesting how each season is a bit different. Sometimes you don't have, you know, you maybe don't have what we have this year with, you know, drought and low snowpack and all that kind of thing. But then you get thunderstorms.
Lightning contributes to, might not be the largest or quantity amount of fires that happen that year, but it does totally contribute to the most acres burned. You know, human caused fires are preventable. That's why we have the public use restrictions. That's why we go really big on promoting fire prevention information to everybody. But lightning, we cannot control. That is Mother Nature. Looking at the drought levels and looking at the vegetation that is dry, wherever that lightning can occur might cause larger, more frequent fires this year. So all we could do is prepare and be ready.
Yeah, and I can remember, and I wish I knew what year it was, walking out the door really early in the morning and, you know, hearing the thunder that was in the area. And just as I got in my rig, looking out there, and I just thought, oh, this does not look good. And your predecessor had already sent me a message, and it wasn't even 3 in the morning yet, and people were already out, you know, rousted out of bed and off to work. So sometimes it's pretty fast moving when these things happen.
Yeah, in 2023, we had the Taiyi complex that was contributed by lightning. In 2021, we also have the Skyline and the Devil's Knob complex. Those were from lightning starts. And so, you know, again, all we could do is help prevent those human-caused fires. So when those lightning fires do occur, our firefighters and our resources could be allocated to suppressing those and taking action.
So how does all this, like our start now on Saturday, compare with other parts of the state?
So other parts of the state have already gone into fire season. So Central Oregon District went into fire season May 8th, which is pretty early for this year. Walker Range Fire District, which is out there near Lapine area, went into fire season May 15th. Southwest Oregon District, which includes Joco and Jackson or Josephine County, went into fire season May 15th. Klamath Lake District went into fire season May 22nd. We went into fire season Saturday, May 30th. Coos went into fire season today, June 1st, and the Northeast Oregon District is projected to go into fire season on Monday, June 8th.
So when we get to fire season, we go through all this data. Does that mean everybody just needs to head inside and stay there until July or August?
I mean, fire season does not mean that people cannot enjoy the outdoors. It means greater awareness and responsibility are required. Regulations are put into place to reduce human-caused fires and may increase throughout the summer depending on weather, fuel moisture, and fire activity. So, you know, we put restrictions into place. Every district is different. Other states are different with their regulations and when they go in and out of fire season. So the best thing is for you to know before you go, know what those restrictions are in place. Where are you recreating and where are you traveling?
And where are we at right now?
Right now, we are at the public use restriction, fire danger low, and industrial fire precaution level 1. So we just implemented fire season as of Saturday. Right now, we're at the lowest of the tiers for both industrial and public use restrictions. So while we're in low, there's currently no time restrictions to mowing dried cured grass or non-industrial power saw use or the cutting, grinding, or welding of metal or the use of power-driven machinery. So once we start moving over into moderate, high, or extreme, those regulations and time allowable use of those types of operations will change, but right now we're in low. So more, we're bringing awareness to you that we're in fire season, fire danger is prevalent, and so those restrictions are coming. But while we're in fire season, there is absolutely no debris burning allowed anymore. So we cut that off as of Saturday with the fire danger that's on the district. Smoking is also prohibited while traveling, except in vehicles on improved roads and boats on the water and at other designated locations. Meaning, please don't be smoking in the forest or dried fields or in the dried grass and putting butts out. That just takes one spark to cause a fire. And fireworks are restricted in forest lands, and exploding targets and tracer ammunition is also restricted during fire season. Sky lanterns are restricted in the state of Oregon all year long. And again, emphasize that debris burning is now not allowed, which includes the use of burn barrels.
All right, more when we come back on fire season. Rachel Pope of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. State Representative Virgil Osborne tomorrow on Inside Douglas County at 1230. Rachel Pope from the Douglas Forest Protective Association walking her way through the fire restrictions. Obviously, you've already got some of your seasonal employees probably in the training process, right?
Yes, that's correct. So we have our firefighters that we employ annually. We're on an operational budget, we're looking at 45. This year, we were able to keep and extend firefighters through winter work, which included doing our co-op work and creating defensible space in our FireWise communities, working through grant funding operations, and allocating folks to doing forestry work with different private landowners as well. So we're about 70 right now within the district. We have some wardens that are going through force law that are newly trained and promoted, and that is happening this week. And then we have our seasonal employees, our first years, that will start onboarding the third week of June.
Now, you talked right before the break about some of the restrictions. One part of that ties into campfires, but also mowing restrictions and things like that.
Yeah, before, when we say that we're not in fire season, that campfires are allowed, a lot of folks have campfires within their own private property, including myself. As soon as we go into fire season, those campfires are only allowed at designated locations. Those designated locations, there's a list of that on dfpa.net if you want to see what that is. Chainsaw and spark emitting equipment are limitations. That's kind of what we talked about a little bit ago, where there's time restrictions for those operations. That's because they could emit heat, and they're motorized equipment that can cause sparks, and usually spark arresters are needed to operate those things safely. So we put those limitations into place. And then also mowing restrictions during hot, dry, or windy periods also are implemented when we're in fire season. So continue to pay attention to what those regulations are and what our fire season levels are.
And there's even requirements for people working out there with tools and water and extinguishers and that kind of thing.
Yeah, as soon as we go into fire season, we recommend carrying fire prevention and fire suppression tools, which include a shovel, an axe, a 2.5-pound ABC fire extinguisher or water source, especially if you're going to be out there traveling in forest lands. We have specifications that you need to meet for that requirement. And also, if you're in the industrial regulation side, you know, if you are working with logging or heavy equipment, mowing road work and industrial operations on our protected lands, you have to meet all of the industrial specifications and have those fire equipment tools on hand.
So obviously, while you like being employed, you would prefer to have less fires, and really, which means prevention really is a big deal.
I would rather have zero work to do and have zero human-caused fires. That would be more of a benefit for everybody. But most wildfires are human-caused and preventable. Like I mentioned earlier, last year, 80% of the fires within the district were human-caused. In 2024, 85% of those fires were related to human-caused activities. So common ignition sources include equipment sparks, dragging trailer trains, parking in dry grass, escape debris burns, unattended campfires, and outdoor power equipment, even after rainfall. Grasses and fine fuels can dry quickly and remain highly flammable. So, you know, I had a lot of questions. We received precip the past couple of days. It rained throughout the weekend. Why are we going to fire season? I just want to reiterate, we did not receive enough precipitation to change that fire danger that's on the land. If you go outside right now and look at the grasses, it's pretty dry everywhere.
Yeah, the amounts were really pretty minuscule.
It's pretty minuscule. It was enough to mess up everybody with their haying operations in their fields that they had to take a break from doing that. But other than that, it did not decrease that fire danger level.
So talk about other things residents can do.
Most importantly, check those current fire restrictions before outdoor activities. Besides what we are here in the Douglas District, you could go to Oregon.gov to check what the other restrictions are in the other districts and the other counties. The reason why we have different restrictions and regulations throughout the state is because their temperature and climate and relative humidity. You know what the fire restrictions are going to look up on Northern Oregon and the Tillamook area are going to be way different than what we're seeing over here in the Douglas District, or even comparison of what we're seeing in Klamath or Jackson County. They're going to be hotter, quicker, faster. And so, You also want to check what the regulations are on federal land, so what that's going to look like on BLM or the Forest Service. If you go to dfpa.net, I have a section on there that says closure info, and there's links to all those different resources to check what those restrictions are going to be. Avoid spark producing activities during hot, dry, windy conditions. Of course, we're going to put in our fire danger levels. We'll increase it to moderate, high, or extreme, which puts restrictions, but just know to avoid those spark producing activities during that hot, dry, and windy conditions. Fully extinguish campfires until cold to the touch. So if you're at a designated campfire location, you have a campfire going, just make sure that it's completely out. You know, there might be some interior heat in that. You leave your camp location, or maybe you take off for the weekend, and it could be a hot and windy day that could reignite that internal heat on that campfire that you had and can cause a fire. And secure those trailer chains and maintain equipment. Vehicle fires are the number one contributor to human-caused fires throughout our district. And so please make sure your vehicles are maintained and secure those trailer chains. Carry water or a 2.5-pound ABC fire extinguisher and tools when appropriate, and create that defensible space around homes. Now that we're in fire danger, we are in low fire danger. There are no restrictions to weed eating or mowing or running a chainsaw. Now is the time to go out there and make sure your defensible space is in place and protect your home.
Now, for DFPA, one of the things you guys are known for going way back is somebody got the idea of putting cameras out.
Yeah, so we have our camera detection area. So, I mean, even our logo is a fire outlook at the DFPA logo. We had fire outlooks all across the district that we would watch and look for smokes and identify and call that into dispatch. In the late 1990s, we are actually the first ones to launch the camera detection program, not just within the district, not just within the state, but nationally, DFPA launched that camera detection technology. We monitor about 35 cameras from the Sweet Home border down to the California border in our dispatch center, and of those, 12 of those cameras are on our Douglas district. And so we also staff that detection center through our seasonal employment through the fire season, and we're always monitoring and looking for smokes or fire causes.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When people think about, if they haven't looked at your cameras, when they go on to trip check to look at road conditions, and it's amazing how many things you can learn so quickly, and it really is the same principle for fires. I mean, if something's out there, you've got enough cameras, really helps out a lot.
That helps with our response time too, right? So DFPA is initial attack, which means if a fire happens on the lands that we protect, we identify it, we're going to dispatch everybody through our dispatch center, and we are going to come to bear with all of our resources that we have, whether it's engines, our planes, if we have helicopters on contract, and we're going to try to do everything to put that fire out. Having that technology, not only are we able to get across azimuth or figure out the location of where that smoke is, we could also kind of tell what kind of smoke is it. Is it white? Is it dark? What direction is it moving? How large is the column? Give us a better perspective of what we're dealing with.
Yeah, and without the cameras, you know, somebody could see smoke, you know, one of the spotters or somebody else reporting it. You kind of have an idea where you think it is, but how do you get from there? Because one of the things is the response. What kind of terrain are you going to run into?
Exactly. So where we have our cameras placed, we can maybe move one camera with another camera to get a better view or a better location. We're looking at the type of terrain. Are there road systems out into that area once we get that lat and long? Are we going to have to bring our dozer out to punch a line in there? Are we launching our air attack to get better view on that smoke? So that all goes into our response, and it all goes and collaboratively together. We also launched FireWeb, which is our dispatch system. We did that about 2-3 years ago. We trialed that at DFPA. And with that, all of our fire wardens are now able to access all their cameras from their handheld smart devices as well that are out in the field. So they could take a look at that smoke column that we're all identifying and looking at too, and to help assess and better locate that while they're responding. Also just, again, increases our response time.
So what's kind of a key takeaway from all of this?
Key takeaway is we are in fire season. It's inevitable that we go in fire season. We're a community that lives in the wild-urban interface. We know that wildfires are going to happen. The key takeaway is to please do what you can to prevent those human-caused fires and to be prepared. Make sure you're signed up with Douglas County Alert System if there are any evacuations that are going to occur in your area. That system will contact you through whatever form of contact that you register through there. Make sure that you're following reputable news sources, KQAN, NR Today, DFPA, Douglas County Sheriff's Office, even Douglas County Government Facebook pages, so you know what's going on and you're receiving the right and correct information. What you need to know is what's happening. So let's be prepared and let's be safe.
And then there we go. Into fire season, Rachel Pope from the Douglas Forest Protective Association. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.